Bibles today and turn to the book of Acts, Acts chapter 6. I really have two reasons for preaching this passage today. One is because it's the next passage in line. I've preached through chapter 5 and finally getting to chapter 6. And then it's this particular chapter is about not so much naming them as deacons, but it's about deacons. And I really want to kind of prime the pump in the next, probably next 2 months. We want to begin to get this process of selecting some more deacons to kind of help serve the church here. And so as we kind of go through this, please be aware of that and recognize that God's called us as a body to pick out guys that will truly carry on the work of the Lord here at Sardis, to be a great ministering arm to the people and really honor God through their actions. And so that's really the thing that we need to learn and recognize, that God wants to be a faithful people, and deacons are a necessary help in those times like that. Well, let me also remind you about how to look at the book of Acts. If you remember Acts chapter 1, we'll call it the Acts 1 sun. As the sun rises, Christ rose after walking on this earth for 40 days after resurrection. Acts chapter 2, think about dew falls on the ground, so the Holy Spirit falls on the church, does great things. Acts chapter 3 is knee. Lame Larry now begins to leap because he's been healed by the apostles there. Acts chapter 4 is door. The Sadducees try to close the door on the church with persecution. That doesn't work. Acts chapter 5 is dive. Ananias and Sapphira dive into the grave because they gave with wrong motives. And now in Acts chapter 6 is sticks. And that is, we're going to pull some sticks. We're going to choose some guys to serve as deacons. And so that's kind of the frame of mind I want you to kind of get at. So let me read to you out of the book of Acts, Acts chapter 6. It says in verse 1, "In those days, when the number of the disciples was multiplied, there arose a murmuring of the Grecians against the Hebrews, because their widows were neglected in the daily ministration. Then the 12 called the multitude of the disciples unto them and said, It is not reason that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Wherefore, brethren, look ye among you 7 men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. And the saying pleased the whole multitude, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Ghost, and Philip, and Procurus, and Nicanor, and Timon, and Parmenas, and Nicholas, a proselyte of Antioch, whom they set before the apostles. And when they had prayed, they laid their hands on them, and the word of God increased. And the number of the disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly, and a great company of priests were obedient to the faith. And Stephen, full of faith and power, did great wonders and miracles among the people." Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, again, we thank you, Lord, for your word that gives us direction and guidance and hope and peace. And Lord, I pray this morning that you would convict us all to be a people that would be a people full of faith in the Holy Ghost, that we would live uprightly, that we live a life that would honor you and cause others to know you. And as we go through this word, Lord, help us to recognize that all this applies to each of us in a certain way. And so, Lord, let us be found faithful to do those things that we need to do. And so, Lord, I pray that you just bless your word today, that you would make good on that promise, as you always do, that when your word is read, it will not come back void. And we ask all this now in Jesus' name, amen. Well, I heard about a preacher and having some problems with his deacon board, and they just went back and forth. No matter what the preacher wanted to do, they wanted to go against it. And no matter what they wanted to do, the preacher was going to go against it. And so they, conflict after conflict after conflict, after many arguments and many sleepless nights, the preacher decided to resign and take a job at the prison as a prison chaplain. And so he preached his last sermon kind of directed toward those deacons in John chapter 14, verse 1, where it says, "I go to prepare a place for you." Sometimes there's a lot of issues with things like that between deacons and pastors. And you can listen to a lot of churches. There's a lot of people that we'll find, or a lot of churches that had this conflict of deacons and pastors. And so we recognize that. But the early church was not that way. The early church was a church that used these guys. And even though it doesn't call them deacons, that was the start of the idea there. They used them to further the kingdom of God. And for the most part, in our church, it's been the same situation. Pastors and deacons pulling together that the goodness of God and the greatness of God can be displayed, and that simply bringing the kingdom of God to be moved forward, and how good that is. And so I want to take a few minutes this morning, really about Acts chapter 6, and show you some things about deacons or about servants that really we all are called to be in one sense, that we might recognize the need for us as believers to move in the right direction. So here's the first thing I want you to see. There's the reason for the deacons, the reason for the deacons. Again, verse 1 says, and when those days when the number of the disciples multiplied, and so we find that something taking place there. We found earlier in Acts chapter 2, thousands get saved. Matter of fact, Acts 2:41, we recognize 3,000 souls get saved. And then by Acts chapter 4, it says the number of them was about 5,000. And so we're having a multiplication of people. Multitudes where people were coming to faith. How great that is. But there's going to be a problem. The more people you have, the more problems there will be. And just like a family, when you have an addition, sometimes there are some growing pains that take place. And in this case, we'll find that some people were not getting ministered to. And so a group of men will be brought to provide a solution to these problems. And again, we'll call these guys deacons. And just know in a general sense that we're all called to serve like this. And so notice the reasons. Deacons are to solidify or unite the church. Deacons are to solidify or unite the church. Again, verse 1, in the middle there says, there arose a murmuring. And so again, I mentioned about people and problems. If you remember in chapter 4, there's the persecution by the Sadducees on the outside. In chapter 5, there is corruption from Ananias and Sapphira on the inside. Now we find dissension in the ranks in chapter 6. The widows were being served, so evidently the church recognized there was a problem. They've already sold in Acts chapter 2 their goods and belongings when they had extra stuff to take care of the general body. When they lost their job or lost their house or whatever, they provided for the church to get back on their feet. But now, evidently, the widows were taken care of by the church. The church recognized their need and said, they said, we will take care of you. And so we recognize the qualification of a widow in the Bible. They had nobody else. It was just them. And so the church jumped in. But now there's a problem. We're going to find... again in verse 1, it says, there arose a murmuring of the Grecians against the Hebrews because their widows were neglected in the daily ministration. And so what's going to happen is there's going to be a problem that some of the widows were taken care of and some were not. And so the deacons will arise and be a solution to this problem, not being a problem themselves. And so how can the deacons be that solution, or how can the service of God be the solution? Well, it always starts with love. And by the way, our church should fall into that mindset, whether you're a deacon in name or a servant of the church, to be a people filled with love, serving others. Paul writes in Romans 12:10, be kindly affectionate one to another with brotherly love, honoring, preferring one another. And so our love for others, it begins in our heart, it goes in our hands, and it is also forwarded by our mouth. And so we are a solution to those that need help. And so be the solution, not the problem. So deacons are to solidify or unite the church. But secondly, deacons are to serve the church. Verse 2 says, then the 12 called the multitude of the disciples unto them and said, it is not reason that we should leave the word of God to serve tables. Wherefore, brethren, look ye out among yourselves, 7 men, honest to report, full of the Holy Ghost, and wisdom whom we may appoint over this business. And so there's a couple of key words that we need to draw from this. That word serve is really diakonos. It's the same word we get deacon from. It's the same word we get servant from. It's the same word we get minister from. And so if you boil that word down, it really means one who stirs the dust, one who is active, one who is busy, not a busybody, but one who is very busy helping others or doing the thing they're called to do. And in this case, the word business there is kreisa. It means something that is needful or necessary. And so these guys would be over the business of doing something that was needful and necessary, which would be meeting the needs of not just a few individuals, but the church full of widows that needed their help. And so again, the office of deacon did not originally design to be a position of authority, but of service. And so what happens when they serve as they should, then they were naturally kind of rise to the top. Jesus said in Matthew 20, verse 27, "And whosoever will be chief among you, let him be your servant." And so we're going to find that as these guys serve, naturally they were lifted by the people and lifted by God. And so we as ourselves should live a life of serving, and we should simply follow this example. Being a servant for the Lord simply means serving the people of the kingdom. And so I'm just telling you, we want to choose some deacons here in the next few months about serving. And let me just remind you some of the things they do. We could talk about communion prep and serving those things and counting offerings and family ministry plans and hospital visits and home visits and phone calls and text and meeting at work days and monthly meetings as we meet on the second Sunday of every month, which is this month, amen, this day. Ushering and shepherding. There's so many things those guys do. And we want people that will step in and be faithful like these guys were. And so we're called to serve. And so let me remind you, you may not be a deacon with an official title, but you are called to be a servant. And so you find your place to serve. You find your spot to serve. You find what's needful for you to fulfill your service to the kingdom of God. These guys had that desire, and so should we. We are called to serve the Lord. Thirdly, deacons are to solidify the church. Deacons are to serve. But thirdly, deacons are to support those preaching the word. So in verse 2 it says, "Then the 12 called the multitudes of the disciples and said unto them, It is not reason that we should leave the word of God to serve tables." So let me say this. In order to preach effectively, they needed two things. One, time to pray, and time to study. They needed time to pray and time to study. Verse 4 says, "But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word." Now that word continually, if you break it down, really means a devotion. So they needed time to really devote themselves to prayer, to seek the Lord for truth and seek the Lord for the right message at the right time. And so we recognize that this is still something that is needful today. And I'm so thankful for you guys, and you allow me to take the time to study and pray and seek the Lord. And so we find that it is a continual thing that they needed to be involved in. So continually, and then notice again, to the ministry of the word. That ministry is the same word as deacon. It is diakonos. And so it was not to give the preacher time off or vacations or just do his own thing, but time to truly dig down and study. Can I remind you that Judgment Day comes every Sunday for the preacher? He will stand before you and give God's word, and whether he's been faithful to pray and faithful to study, it will be recognized quite easily. The apostles recognized they could not serve tables and serve the bread of life at the same time. Something will go lacking. I wonder if their sermons have gotten a little dry. I wonder if they felt a little unprepared to preach. I wonder if they were stressed on the Lord's Day when they stood among the people because they did not have the time, because they were so busy serving tables, they could not take the time to pray and take the time to study. So here comes the Calvary, the deacons. How good it is. Simply put, the deacons would form a partnership with those preaching the word so that discipleship and ministry could take place at the same time. Let me just say that again. Simply put, the deacons would form a partnership with those preaching the word so that discipleship and ministry could take place at the same time. They would be servers at the tables, that they would grow and serve in any areas over time, that they would bring unity and encourage the body of believers to be one, and that one is called the Church of the Living God. That should be our goal. So let me ask you, are we serving today as we should? Those first deacons made a great difference. Our deacons make a great difference. But I wonder, do we, as the body of believers, continue to make that great difference in the life of the church? Do we have a servant mentality? Every believer should have a desire to serve. Do we stir the dust with actions by doing what is needed to help others? Do we have a partnership mindset so that the church will grow as it should? Those first guys did, and we see the results. So that's the reason for the deacons. But secondly, there's the requirements for selecting deacons. The requirements for selecting deacons. Again, verse 3 says, "Wherefore, brethren, look ye out among you seven men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business." You're going to find this a two-part process for putting out or selecting deacons. First, the church would look around and select those men. You may ask, well, why didn't those deacons or why didn't the apostles just say, you, and you jump in here and do this? Well, we find there's some neat things. They're going to tell the men to look out, seven men full of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom. Why let the people choose? Well, you could say maybe time was an issue. They couldn't already do what they were needing to do now. But people know people. Your peers know you best. And so they were to look out and see Johnny or Jim or James or whoever. And they would say, he's living a life that looks like this, or he's not living a life that looks like this. And so it's important to recognize that these guys were picked by the church to be put forward to the apostles. So the church was to look around, select these men. Secondly, the apostles would affirm that choice and appoint them. Verse 6 says, "Whom they set before the apostles, and when they prayed, they laid their hands on them." So this two-part process fulfilled this obligation. They were appointed or selected by the church, and then approved and appointed or ordained, you may say, by the apostles. And so we'll ask you in the coming months to look out and be that people that select others, to put forth some people that we as deacons and as pastors will say, yes, this is good. Let me encourage you to take some time and do this. You know, the Bible says this in 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 22, speaking about ordaining people. "Lay hands suddenly on no man." In other words, do not make rash decisions. And so notice what they did in Acts chapter 6, verse 5. "And the saying pleased the whole multitude, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and the Holy Ghost, and Philip, and Procurius, and Nicanor, and Timon, and Parmenas, and Nicholas, a proselyte of Antioch." And so we recognize they chose some guys. Now let me remind you, here's some things not to do to choose deacons. One, just don't choose people because they're regular church members. Yes, they need to be regular, but don't choose people just because they regularly attend. Don't choose the most popular people or part of the biggest family or the good old boy mentality just because they're part of the gang. Don't pick them. Or potential. Don't say, well, he's not really so much faithful, but he's got a lot of potential. No, don't. They did not do that. We should not either. We need people already faithful. We need people already using their potential. We need people already doing those things. These men will be the servants of the church. It will be a task, not a title. This is not something that we pick people to build them up or lift them up. We pick these guys for them to build others up and to simply do those things. Later, Paul the Apostle would write about this from the Lord about these requirements for deacons. He would say in 1 Timothy chapter 3, he would say in verse 8, "Likewise, that must the deacons be grave, not double-tongued, not given to much wine, not greedy of filthy lucre," that means money, "holding to the mystery of the faith in pure conscience. Let these also first be proved, then let them use the office of a deacon, being found blameless. Even so must their wives be grave, not slanderers, sober, faithful in all things. Let the deacons be the husband of one wife, ruling their children and their own houses well. For they that use the office of a deacon will," excuse me, "purchase in themselves a good degree and great boldness in the faith which is in Christ Jesus." And so we find that Paul writes these things, but here in this particular chapter, we also have some qualifications. Notice first, a deacon must be faithful. A deacon must be faithful. Again, verse 3. "Wherefore, look ye out among yourselves seven men of honest report." That word honest report really deals with this idea of martyreo and another word there that means having a testimony that is good, that they are faithful. And so a deacon, a servant of the Lord, must be faithful, yes, to his family. Let me just tell you, don't fail at home. They must be faithful to the word of God, faithful to the family of God, faithful to their finances. Remember, 1 Timothy chapter 3 says, not of greedy, filthy lucre. In other words, I think the early church may have actually even paid some of their deacons. faithful in the eyes of foes. That means when the Pharisees came against these deacons, they recognized they were a man of devout and honesty. Faithful in the eyes of the unfamiliar. We find that they should be living a light to this lost world. Matter of fact, 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 7 says, moreover, he must have a good report of them which are without. And so we recognize these guys must be different. And I think when I preached this last time, I said, if you're a drunkard, a brawler, or a womanizer, you need not to apply, and that's the truth. We recognize these guys should be set apart. If not, it will cause a mark on the church rather than doing what it is intended to grow the church. And so you may be here thinking, there's no way for me to do all those things. There's no way for me to be perfect. And I agree with you. None of us are perfect. We all have our flaws. We all have our missteps. We've all messed up over time. But I also recognize that through Christ we can do all things. Romans chapter 8, verse 37 says, nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors of him that loved us. And again, what I just mentioned, Philippians 4, 13, I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. And so we need to strive to be faithful, whether you want to be a deacon or not. So deacons must be faithful. But secondly, deacons must be, or are, deacons are full, are to be full of the Holy Spirit. Deacons are to be full of the Holy Spirit. So it says, full of the Holy Ghost. That means a spirit-filled man is one that is controlled by the Spirit. And so we find that this position of deacons is not for unbelievers, but for believers who are strongly controlled by the Spirit of God. That means there must be a time of surrender, that you have surrendered your life to Christ Jesus. And so when we take deacon into our midst, or take a candidate, we ask them about their salvation. There must be a testimony of salvation. But not just surrender to the Spirit, there must be a steady reliance of the Spirit. That means controlled. That means that he is using the Spirit in wisdom. That means he is being guided by the Spirit. I'm reminded of the late preacher D.L. Moody. And D.L. Moody was going to a conference one time, and he was running a little bit late, and they wanted to start without him. And one guy says, no, let's stop. Let's wait on D.L. Moody. And so the guy said, well, what's the deal? Does D.L. Moody have a monopoly on the Holy Spirit? And they said, oh, no, but the Spirit has a monopoly on D.L. Moody. We need people like that. That's going to lead in certain ways to move the church forward. We need church members like that to be that lighthouse to this lost world. We need people filled with the Spirit of God. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18 says, and be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. And just as alcohol changes the actions of people, so the Spirit of God changes the actions of people. We need people changed by that Spirit to live a life that honors him. Thirdly, deacons must be faithful. Deacons must be full of the Holy Spirit, but also deacons must have foresight or wisdom. Deacons must have foresight, or I should say wisdom. So he has an honors report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. Why wisdom? Because it takes wisdom to serve in the body of Christ as a leader. It takes wisdom when it comes to dealing with church family problems. It takes wisdom when it comes to handling church money and its dispersion. It takes wisdom when we're holding on to confidential matters. It takes wisdom when talking and confronting people about their behaviors. It takes wisdom when it comes to interpreting the Word of God correctly. And wisdom comes from the Lord. James chapter 1, verse 5 says, if you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that gives to all men liberally and abradeth not, and it shall be given him. We need men that will seek the Lord and ask for wisdom to deal with the different problems we will have in the church house. And while not everyone is chosen to be a deacon, we are all called to be a servant, a diakonos. And so let me ask you before I move on, are you living a life that recognizes others so that others may recognize you as faithful to the Lord? In other words, is your life such a life that others recognize that you love Jesus? Is there evidence that the Holy Spirit resides in you? He said, full of the Holy Ghost. Are you living a life guided by wisdom that comes from above? We all need that. We need to seek the Lord for those things. Well, notice the third thing. Not just the reason for the deacons and the rules for selecting these deacons, but the results of the deacons. What happened when these guys were used in the church? what's going to take place when these guys begin to do what God called them to do. First, there's going to be the proclamation of the word increase. The proclamation of the word increase. If you look back at verse 2, it says this: then the 12 called the multitude of the disciples unto them and said, it is not reason that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. And then when you get to verse 7, it says, and the word of God increased. And so we recognize right off the bat that these guys provided time and study and prayer for the apostles, and they used that to do great things. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15 says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And so the apostles had that time to study and pray, had that time to envelop themselves in word and prayer, and it's going to do great things. Secondly, by the example of faithfully lived out lives by these men, as they went among the people and as they worked and lived, their actions spoke loud. And by the way, we recognize that actions speak louder than words. They lived out their life in faithfulness, and so should we. Sometimes we say this, do as I say, not as I do. Can I remind you, that will not work when it comes to a church setting. You may tell your kids that, you may tell your people that, but when it comes to church, you must live out your faith. We must live in such a way that the word of God is not hindered by our actions, and they did so. We're going to find that this proclamation of the word greatly increased. Secondly, we're going to find that the population of the saved increased, that the population of the saved increased. When you read verse 7, it says, and the word of God increased, and the number of the disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly. They were not adding, but they were multiplying. They were not counting 1 or 2 or 5 or 6 or 10 or 12, but multitudes were greatly coming to the faith. Thousands were saved because these men fulfilled their duty as deacons. And if we'll do the same, I'm telling you, multitudes will be saved in this place. Why? Romans chapter 10, verse 17 says, so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. When we have time to share God's word, when we have time to minister, when we have time to do those things that God's called us to do as a church, people will get saved. Paul writes in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13, for this cause also we thank God without ceasing, because when ye received the word of God which ye heard of us, ye received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which effectually worked also in you that believed. And so we recognize God's word does something great. We know that to be true today. Also in Isaiah chapter 55, 11 says, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I send it. And so the word of God went forth, and it changed everything. But lastly, notice the praise of the people increased. The praise of the people increased. So when you read verse 8, it says, Stephen, full of faith and power, did great wonders and miracles among the people. We're going to find first that the people honored the Lord. It said he did great wonders. That word wonder really boils down to marvel. And so when people saw what this man, Stephen, did, they marveled. They praised God for what he was doing in their midst. The response was, wow, look how good God is. Matter of fact, Jesus said in John chapter 4, verse 48, then Jesus said unto him, except you see signs and wonders, ye will not believe. Stephen was doing these things, and it caused the people to trust in the Lord. And so you may not do signs and wonders and miracles, but a life lived for the Lord will change people. Not only did people like that, but also notice at the end of verse 7, and a great company of priests were obedient to the faith. Jewish priests saw the signs, they heard the words proclaimed, and were obedient. Not obedient to Stephen, but to the faith. They honor the Lord with their lives. And so it should be with us, that we live a life of faith and do what God's called us to do. And so people honor the Lord, but also notice the people honored the deacons. Really, in a church like ours and across our land, there are few people more respected than a faithful deacon. I think I've already read Matthew 20, 27 says, whosoever will be chief among you, let him be your servant. And I'm reminded that preachers, yes, they do come and go, but man, what a faithful deacon means in the body of believers. Paul writes in 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 13, "For they that have used the office of the deacon well purchase themselves a good degree and great boldness in the faith which is in Christ Jesus." And so, yes, people recognize that deacons will become a people of influence, not for themselves, but really to honor the Lord. And so today when we live out our life, let us recognize that, yes, we want to be a people of influence, not to say, look at me or look at us, but look at the Lord. So let me ask you before I end with this. Will you honor the Lord today? First, by living a life of faith. And secondly, by partnering with other believers to accomplish the mission the Lord has given us. Will you commit yourselves to be that faithful servant to the Lord? No matter who you are, simply commit yourselves to living a life that serves the Lord and serves others. How good it is when we do what God calls us to do, and the fruit that will simply come by being faithful to the Lord. Somebody wrote this years ago. It's a song that some people sing. "The church of God, one body is, one spirit dwells within. All her members are redeemed and triumph over sin. Divinely built, divinely ruled, to God she doth submit. His will, her love, his truth, her guide. Her path is glory lit. God set her members each in place according to his will. Apostles, prophets, teachers, all his purpose to fulfill." Can I tell you today, your purpose is in that body of believers. If you're a believer in Christ, you have a purpose to fulfill. All I'm asking today is commit yourselves to that. Figure out what it is and do it with all your might. Recognize God has a plan, and he wants to use that plan to honor and further the kingdom of God. I'm going to ask you to bow your head and close your eyes just for a moment. It's easy to think about deacons and think about, well, we need to pick some more. And we will. But I would really ask you to think about yourselves just for a moment. And maybe you feel there's a qualification that you don't quite meet, and that's fine too. But there is something that you need to fulfill, and that is your service to the King above. God's called us all to serve. God's called us all to do for him. God's called all of us to be found faithful. And so why not this morning just simply commit yourselves to doing that? Willing to do whatever the Lord has for you to do. Willing to step out by faith. Willing to simply say, "I will, Lord, whatever it is, send me." I'm telling you, God will bless, God will help, God will encourage, God will use you to further his kingdom. He's willing. The question is, are we? Father, we thank you, Lord, for all that you do. We pray, oh Lord, that you would move us mightily with conviction, that you would guide us and lead us and help us to be that faithful body of believers. Lord, I pray that if there's any here that need to turn their life over to you, that today would be the day of salvation. And for those that are believers, that you would use the rest of them, Lord, to simply serve you in some capacity. Help us now. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.